Let's read together Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. Here we have two miracles of our Lord interwoven together: the healing of a woman with internal bleeding and the restoring to life of a young girl. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, where she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. Let's begin our study of this portion of Matthew chapter 9 now with some background notes. These two miracles, the healing of the woman with internal bleeding and the restoring to life of the young girl, are recorded in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The fact that they happen together and are recorded together is not by chance. Remember, the miracles of the Lord Jesus not only demonstrated his divine power as the Son of God, but they carry teaching with them as well. Our Lord's miracles were not arbitrary bursts of divine power. They were designed to teach divine truth. Now, in these two miracles together, I believe we have a spiritual picture of God's program for both blessing his people Israel on the one hand and his program for blessing the church on the other hand. The ruler here is a Jewish synagogue official named Jairus. We know this from the other Gospels. In the spiritual picture, the daughter of this Jewish ruler represents God's chosen people Israel, who are spiritually dead at the present time. But the Lord is on his way to heal them, as we see in this spiritual picture. In the meantime, like a parenthesis in time, the sick woman reaches out to touch the Lord in faith and is healed. In the spiritual picture, the woman represents those who are coming to Christ today. Anyone who is sick with the disease of sin may be healed during this time of God's grace simply by reaching out in faith and receiving Christ as personal Savior. Romans 10:13. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. All believers today make up the church, the body of Christ. But in the future, the great truth of Romans chapter 11 will come to pass. Israel will be restored to life. There will not only be the restoration of the nation of Israel, that's taking place already, but there will come a spiritual awakening of Israel. As Jairus' daughter was dead, but brought back to life, so Israel is spiritually dead today, but Israel will be awakened and raised up and given new spiritual life in the future. All of this, you see, is pictured in these two interwoven miracles before us. Let's move now to our two doctrinal points. We'll look at one doctrinal point for each miracle. So doctrinal or teaching point number one: the touch of faith brings salvation. The touch of faith brings salvation. Question: why was the woman trying to touch the hem of the Lord's garment? Most likely, she was reaching out to touch the fringe of his garment, which had the tassels and cord of blue, which was demanded by the law. I'm reading Numbers chapter 15, verses 38 and 39, under the law. Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them. Numbers 15, 38 and 39. Over the years, this fringe on the garments of the rabbis took on special significance. But it is important to notice that this woman did not reach out superstitiously, and she did not think the fringe itself had some kind of magical powers. No, the Lord Jesus said that she reached out in faith. Verse 22, once again. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. What a great picture we have here of salvation. The touch of faith brings salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's not the amount of faith, but the focus of faith that counts. Saving faith is not centered in some church or creed, but in a person, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman knew that she was sick and that she needed to be healed. She reached out in faith and touched the only one who could make her well. So it is in salvation. We may not have a lot of theological knowledge. All we have to know is that we are sinners, and that if we reach out in faith to the Lord Jesus, he can forgive us because he died on the cross for our sins. Let me ask you this morning, have you reached out in faith to the Lord Jesus for salvation? This is more than going to church. This is more than signing some statement of faith. This is more than raising a hand in an emotional moment. This is genuine faith in the Lord Jesus as Savior. The touch of faith brings salvation. Doctrinal point number two, the touch of God brings new life. The touch of God brings new life. In the case of Jairus' daughter, the question has been raised as to whether she was dead or merely in a coma. Jairus believed that his 12-year-old daughter had died, but the Lord Jesus said that she was only asleep. Verse 24, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." However, the Lord Jesus probably used the term sleep here in order to indicate that he was going to raise her back to life. The word sleep, as you know, is used for the death of believers in 1 Corinthians 11:30, for example, because death is only a temporary condition for believers. When Stephen was martyred, we read in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, that he fell asleep. So we believe that the little girl was really raised back to life, not just awakened from a coma. The touch of God brings new life. Do you see the spiritual picture here? Not only will the touch of God bring new life to Israel in a coming day when the heart of the nation will be changed under the new covenant, but the touch of God brings new life to any individual today who believes. When you become a Christian, you not only receive forgiveness of sins and a ticket to heaven, you receive new life. You are born again. You are born from above. When you are saved, you are regenerated. That is, you have new life, divine life, the life of Christ. This is the new life that is enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is the abundant life of John 10, 10. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. There we read, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. Once again, the question. Have you experienced the touch of God and new life in Christ? The touch of God brings new life. What about practical application? Expect interruptions when you're serving the Lord. Expect interruptions when you're serving the Lord. You know, some Christians have the idea that if they're serving the Lord and doing God's will, then there will not be any interruptions in their lives. Nothing could be further from the truth. Notice that the Lord here was interrupted twice in this passage, once by Jairus and once by the woman. Now, did our Lord get rattled and annoyed about this? No. Our Lord remained poised and gracious. Sometimes when we get interrupted, even in our Christian service, we get rattled and bent out of shape and annoyed. Can you identify with that? We need to follow the model of our Lord. Interruptions will come. God allows them. And we don't always understand why. But we should expect interruptions when we're serving the Lord. The phone will ring when you least expect it, or when you least want it to ring. Someone will need help right when you're in the middle of a project. Can you handle it? Expect interruptions when you're serving the Lord. A few years ago, I experienced an unexpected interruption. I was scheduled to preach at a spring youth conference in Hartford, Connecticut. Because I was going to be away from home for a few days, my wife Margie decided to visit family during that time. She had already left town when the call came through that the youth conference was being canceled because of a major snowstorm that was hitting the East Coast. Roads and airports were being closed so that there was no way that the conference could be held. Even the locals couldn't make it, let alone the out-of-towners and the speaker Dave Reed flying in from Chicago. Well, this certainly was an unexpected interruption. Here I had blocked out this time in my schedule and Margie had already left town. So here I was home alone for 3 days with nothing scheduled. Why had God allowed this interruption? This youth conference was the work of the Lord and I was involved in Christian service. Well, I'm sure that the Lord had many reasons why he allowed this conference to be canceled. But for me, it was obvious that the Lord had allowed this interruption so that I could have time to complete a particular project that I had not been able to find time to complete. I had already finished taping my lectures for the Christian Evidences course that is on our website. However, the handouts, including the charts and diagrams and outlines, were not complete. And that was going to take some time. Well, here was that time. So for 3 days, I essentially worked around the clock to produce all the handouts. So if you go to our website, growingchristians.org, and click on the course Christian Evidences 2 and look at the handouts, you can see one reason why God allowed an interruption in my Christian service. Most of these handouts were put together during that time of interruption. God used that interruption. You know, the same will be true in your life as a believer.
Sometimes the interruptions are major and life-changing and open new doors of service for ministry. Lisa Beamer's life was interrupted in a major way on 9/11. She is using it to serve the Lord. Expect interruptions when you're serving the Lord.